Well, good morning. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes. Yeah, you're great.
I am. Well, I'm not sure if the attendance is due to me preaching or the snow, or maybe both. I don't know. But it's always an honor to share with you guys. I wanted to speak today about joy in 2022. And it's because of God's word that we're able to speak to joy. As Craig said, the stuff that we're seeing and Drew has talked about for a long time, what our particular world is facing right now. I looked up some dictionary words. Happy, I've heard for years, depends on circumstances. And joy, I made this up, and in eternal anchor based on belief in God's word. To me, that's joy. It's based on something very, very solid. Can we put that first verse up, Randy? Is it on behind me? 2 Corinthians 1:22. This is one of my favorite. And he has identified us as his own when he placed the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. Identified to me means a seal of ownership. He owns us. It says in Scripture that we've been bought with a price, that our names are on the palm of his hand, and that's pretty powerful to me. The first installment, if you've ever bought a car or appliance and you didn't have the cash for it, first installment obviously means there's going to be many more after it. So the first installment is, to me, the benefits of our eternal life in God's presence, because that promise has been put in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a quote that I found that I thought was quite interesting. It says, and some of you may identify with this, some people have to doubt before they believe. If doubt leads to questions, and questions lead to answers, and if answers are accepted, then doubt has done a good work. And I immediately thought of Thomas in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 20, chapter 20, and we're going to look at verse 24 through 29. And I'm sure you're all familiar with this. Now, I'm reading from, I love the translation I use, the New Living Translation, because for my pea brain, this is one of the easiest for me to understand. So it may be a little different, but I asked them to put the scripture up on the screen. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came, and they told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them, and he said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side." And then he said, "Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." And of course, Thomas said the mighty few words, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you've seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." And that's us. So we're blessed according to God's word because we believe and we've not seen him. Thomas needed that. And just like the quote I gave you, some people need to doubt before they believe. But if those questions lead to answers, the answers are answered, then doubt's done a good work. The next verse is Romans 15:13. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. So the condition is what? That we trust him. That's the ingredient. Besides Thomas, there was a famous author. He was actually a reporter for the Chicago Tribune, and his name was Lee Strobel. I don't know if you've ever read that book. It's called The Case for Christ. But he spent nearly 2 years talking to every PhD he could find in science, in philosophy, in history, and in archaeology, because his point was to prove that Christ was not real. That's what he started out to do. Doubted just like Thomas. But he ended up going through those nearly 2 years and wrote this very large book, The Case for Christ. By the time he came to that, he was absolutely convinced that Christ was who he said he was. So it started with doubt, and then with questions. The questions were answered. The answers were accepted, and that it did a good work. And that has touched millions of people who have had doubts about the reality of Christ and the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. So Lee Strobel did an incredible work. We watched that in our Bible study group. It was really, really great. The next one is 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4, and then 6. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by mercy, great mercy, that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectations, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that's kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though we have to endure many trials for a little while. So Drew has talked about this. We're all very much aware of it. We're going through trials as a nation. We're going through trials in our families. I mean, the enemy is attacking everything he can to try to steal our joy. But the thing is, the joy is offered. We have to accept it, right? It's not something that we can just say, well, Lord, I'm going to be worried about this. I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be this and this and this. That's all negative. To offset that is, Lord, I know we're going to go through stuff. You told us in these days you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We know we're going to go through it. But when you look at that heaven that's going to have all these incredible riches and blessings in front of us, it can't be decayed. It can't get old. You buy a new car. It's wonderful for the first 3 or 4 months. You park it at Walmart, and somebody runs into it with a cart. Well, there's the installments that keep going and going and going, but you've got a car that was brand new, and you look at it, you go, crud. And after that first one, it's like, another one, I hit another one, and it's kind of lost its glory, if you will. But in heaven, none of that's ever going to happen. And that's what we've got to look forward to. And that's one of the things I wanted to share with you today, was the joy. There may be tough times here, folks, but what's coming? And for you young folks, when I was 20, I'm not thinking about heaven. I'm thinking about, what's my career going to be? Is somebody, some woman going to love me? Am I going to have kids? What will my job be? Where will I live? I had all those questions. When you get to my age, those questions have been answered. But I've got something to look forward to, and you young folks do too. It's just somewhere God's got to draw the line and says, okay, everybody out of the pool. He's going to call us home, and we're going to be obviously at different ages when that happens. But what's waiting for us is nothing but phenomenal, wonderful glory. Dan Downey, I don't know if you remember him, but he was a missionary. And probably when this church was about 3 years old, Dan came and spoke. And his whole message, the whole time he spoke, was what is not going to be in heaven. So I came up with this brilliant idea. I want you to go home this week, take the alphabet, and think of everything with those letters that will not be in heaven. A, anger. A, anxiety. C, cheerleaders. No, I'm just kidding. M, mosquitoes. But I'm serious. Go through that list, and you list all the things that are not going to be in heaven, and then the flip side of that is what will be. The opposite of what the negative is going to be, and that's waiting for us. That's something to look forward to, I'm telling you. Anyway, I'm kind of cutting this a little shorter, so forgive me. Job 23, 10 through 14. I want to read that. I think you all know the story of Job, what that guy went through. And it's kind of interesting that Job is right before Psalms. If you think about that, that's interesting. Job 23, 10 through 14. And he knows where I'm going. I am going, and when he tests me, I will come out as pure as gold. For I have stayed, that's the first thing, on God's path. I have followed, that's the second thing, his ways and not turned aside, that's the third thing. And I have not departed, that's the fourth thing. I've stayed, I've followed, I've not turned aside, and I've not departed from his commandments. But have treasured, that's number five, his words more than daily food. That's pretty powerful. But once he has made his decision, who can change his mind? Whatever he wants to do, he does. So he will do to me whatever he has planned, for he controls my destiny. And all of his plans are all good. Drew has said many times, God is good all the time. God is good. All right, go to Job 1. We're going to look at actually what happened and what God allowed. I'm sure you know this, but it's kind of nice to be refreshed. Job 1, verses 1 through 6. There was once a man named Job who lived in the land of Uz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest person in that entire area. Job's sons would take turns preparing feasts in their homes, and they would use and invite their 3 sisters to celebrate with them. With these celebrations ended, when they ended, sometimes several days, Job would purify his children. He would get up early in the morning and offer a burnt offering for each of them. For Job said to himself, "Perhaps my children have sinned and have cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular practice. I think like us, when we pray for our sons and daughters, we do it all the time. God cover them. God protect them. And of course, here comes the enemy. In verse 6, one day the members of the heavenly court came to present themselves before the Lord, and the accuser Satan came with them. "Where have you come from?" the Lord asked Satan. Satan answered the Lord, "I have been patrolling the earth, watching everything that's going on." Now, if you look back at, we stop there, and you look back at First Peter. Turn to 1 Peter, and you'll see in the New Testament an exact replica of what was just said. 5:8. Okay, 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." So that's New Testament referring to Job in the Old Testament. That we know now very clearly that that's what the enemy wants to do. We know that Job lost everything, all the cattle, all the sheep, his family. But if you look at the back end of Job, go to chapter 42. Chapter 42 of Job. It says, at the end, after, of course, you know the three friends came to talk to him and tried to encourage him, and they did a pretty poor job. They kept accusing him of having sinned before God and a million other things that weren't really true. But 42, verse 12. "So the Lord blessed Job in the second half of his life, even more than in the beginning of his life. For now he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen, 1,000 female donkeys. He gave Job even more sons and three more daughters," and then he named them, etc., etc. So in the end, God doubled what he lost at the beginning. Sometimes we think we've had a great loss here, and we have. There's been recent deaths we know about. It's a very sad thing. But the reward that's waiting for us and for those people that knew Christ that died, they're in glory right now. If we ask Bill to come back, I think he'd shake his head and say, "No, I don't want to leave this. I don't want to come back to this earth and my body is destroyed as it was and weak." He says, I'm having a ball up here. And I think we can say that about our loved ones that we've lost that are in glory. Sure, there's a hole. But 80 years, if we live 80 years, 90 years, folks, that's a nanosecond compared to eternity. It's a bleep. And we're going to be there, whole and complete. Philippians 4, and then verse 6 says, "Always be full of joy in," now notice it says "in the Lord." Doesn't say be full of joy in the world. Be full of joy in your circumstances, but be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, I looked up, just for the heck of it, what is the difference between anything and everything? I mean, they sound kind of alike, but according to Webster's, anything is to take a list of things and pick two things from that list. That's anything. Everything is to take the whole list. Notice he says, don't worry about anything, one or two things, but pray about everything. Everything. And you, each of you, fill in the blank for what that is in your life, at your stage, your health, kids, grandkids. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Now, is the picture up there? Yeah, do the picture of gratitude. My bride bought this about 4 years ago and put it on our wall. And every time I look at that, I'm reminded of what the truth of that says. If you think about it, thankfulness for what we have turns it into enough. Pretty powerful. And I look at that all the time to help remind me that as the world draws you in with commercials, and if you wear this perfume, you're going to look like this guy on a horse, or you're going to look like this girl who's gorgeous with a long gown and all this garbage, superficial, you know. And that's why we are supposed to be light and truth to people, because we know the truth. It's not in things, not at all. There's three quotes that I I found. These are from Oswald Chambers. The first one is, if your life is producing wine, instead of wine, ruthlessly kick it out. What was the one thing that God was angry with of the Israelites? They complained, didn't they? We want, what was it, pheasants, grouse, goose? What do they want besides manna? What was that bird?
Quail.
And they got sick of quail. They whined. They weren't appreciative. It ticked God off, and I don't blame him. And I sometimes think we, so blessed here in America compared to other countries, what other people are going through, it must make him angry or upset or, I don't know, like we're unappreciative of what we've got. I mean, we came here today in cars that got us through that snow. That's a gift. Like Craig said, the snow is a gift. We haven't had this kind of snow in years. It's precious because it helps us for the future if God continues to bless us this way. All right, this other one I love too. Do you have that, Randy? No power? No power on earth or in heaven or in hell can conquer the Spirit of God living within the human spirit. It creates an inner invincibility.
Amen.
That is strong, folks. Remember the three guys that stood up, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They stood up and they said, I will not bow as the statue of Nebuchadnezzar came through. And they would not bow. They stood up. I will not bow to that. They had an inner invincibility, and they didn't have the Bible. We do. What's our excuse? There's none. We don't have an excuse that we should be upset or whine. We've got everything we need right here between Genesis and Revelation. And God's given us that after giving his life on Calvary. And I like this other one. Living a full and overflowing life does not rest in bodily health or in the issues of life. However, the first thing that will eat away at the joy God offers is the subtle irritability caused by giving too much thought to our circumstances. So don't let it eat away at you. It can happen. We're only human. We're fallible. We have Christ. We're going to glory. But the enemy would do everything he can in every way possible to steal that joy that's promised to us into 2022, into 2023. And as long as God tarries, we have those hopes and promises. There's one other famous quote that I love that yeah, go ahead, read it. But I'm sure for you cat lovers, that should be also there. Hair from cats.